Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of The Spread presented by the Red Light Sports Network. Today's show, we are going to be discussing line movements, futures odds, value, wagering theory, wagering strategy, and anything else that may arise. This program and the website CoverThatSpread.com is for entertainment purposes only, and any questions regarding the legality of gambling and online wagering should be directed to your local and state legislative offices. However, if you do have the ability and wish to place wagers with a licensed bookmaker, please do so responsibly and be sure to square up with Uncle Sam on April 15th. Sports wagering, just like any risk-based investment, for example, options, derivatives, or even hedge funds, all these can lead to losses, and you must assess your own risk tolerance before you start.
I am your host, J.A., the Managing Director and Co-Founder of Cover That Spread. And I am joined by my guy, V. Casacho. How is it going, buddy?
Going all right, my man. Looking forward to another great show. Get some odds, talk some football, talk some soccer, and the final of the MLB season coming up here.
Yeah, you know, this first week of the NFL preseason kind of caught me by surprise. I don't know why, because I've been doing preview shows, but for some reason I just was not prepared for it. So, you know, we're coming up to week two. We're already starting to see some injuries. Big news today for anybody who has not heard yet. Kelvin Benjamin was carted off the field earlier. It was just reported by Ian Rapoport that he does have a torn ACL and will be out for the season. So big loss for the Carolina Panthers and a big loss for Cam Newton, because that really needed to be his guy this season at the receiver position. So I just actually got done filming the Carolina Panthers preview. I had them at 19 in my spread rankings. I think this is going to knock them down. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, that the Panthers were kind of the favorites right now to repeat for the NFC West. I'm sorry, the NFC South. You know, does this open the door for other teams? And, you know, we were both throwing out the idea that maybe Tampa Bay is a legit contender in the division. Do you think that the Benjamin injury is big enough that it really knocks the Panthers down even more?
I think it definitely knocks the Panthers down a little more. I think that Cam Newton still does have a few weapons available to him, but really that was his main target. And like you said, really should have been, you know, his guy this year. So definitely that takes away one of his best options. But I think they can still find a way to really win that division. But with the defense being able to focus in on other guys because he's not there, they'll definitely struggle. So we'll be looking for their defense to really be the key, which is what you had said you did not have faith in previously either. So definitely going to be interesting to see what they do. I think Tampa Bay does have a shot of making some noise in the division. I'm still not 100% convinced of who Jameis Winston is, though, so I still like the Panthers.
You know, my thing with the Buccaneers, I feel like they could potentially be the most well-rounded team in the division. Obviously, a lot of question marks at quarterback. We don't know if Winston's going to take off right away or if he's going to struggle. You know, if he struggles early on and they start off, let's say, 2-6 or 1-7, you know, it's going to be a big uphill climb. So obviously, even if he shows big improvement over his rookie season, it's not going to be getting them into the playoffs. But for what their defense appears to be and what their offense potentially could be, you know, I think this one really opens up a lot of doors for them because, you know, the Panthers, just outside of Benjamin, and I wasn't a big fan of any of their receivers. So this is a big loss for them, big blow. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out early on. And if one of these teams is able to make, you know, let's say somebody in the division is able to start 5-3 or 6-2, they could be running away with this division, you know, by Thanksgiving easily. So a lot of questions still ahead for the NFC South. I still think that it is possibly the worst division overall when you look at the collection of teams. Now, there's the AFC South, which I think has the bottom three teams of any division. So that one is a little odd to see. But we'll see how this NFC South plays out. We've got, we want to talk about a couple other injuries that have come up in the NFL. We are also going to talk about a little MLB action this evening. I want to get to the rest of the top 25 in college and, throw this one around. I also want to note to everybody, I will be out of town next weekend, so we will not be doing a show next Wednesday. However, the following week, which was going to be September 2nd, that is when we will be discussing the college football openers. So be sure you guys are listening in 2 weeks, as we're going to start having some college football plays for everybody and breaking down some of the big opening weekend games. So you told me off the air that you are not a fan of any kind of soccer action going on tonight. Do you have anything interesting this weekend, or is there anything upcoming that you're keeping your eye on right now?
Yeah, definitely. The English Premier League still going on. Kicking in, we're going to be looking at Spain, La Liga starting off. There are some tournament games going on tonight with the U.S. Open Cup, which, you know, pitches some of the MLS teams against teams from Central America and the lower division tiers here in the U.S. as well. So those are some interesting ones, but really where we come into an issue, which we've discussed before, is getting information and good information on those teams. So it's not always readily available. So we're passing on those tonight. There are some games going down on in Brazil as well with the domestic cup down there. But I'm not really a fan of anything to place some confidence in on any teams whatsoever. So we'll be passing on those, but we will be looking forward to some of the major leagues going on this weekend.
Let's do a little bit of rapid fire. I'm just going to throw some games at you this weekend in the English Premier League. Just let me know if you have any thoughts or any kind of ideas on the game. We've got Manchester United playing against Newcastle. Manchester U is at -257. If you take a -1, they're at -156. Over-under is at 2.5. Looks like there is favored to go over. Do you have any feelings on this game?
Yeah, this could be a big one for them. I think that they just played a game yesterday, however, that we had tweeted out for qualification into the Champions League. So you could see some tired players or some other guys getting a shot, which they played really well yesterday. So depending on who's in that starting 11, they may or may not run away with that game. You know, they struggled in their first game, winning on an own goal, 1-0. And last week they struggled as well against Aston Villa, who had been one of the bottom teams last season. With all the additions that they've had this year, you know, trying to get guys in and get them accustomed to what Louis van Gaal is trying to do with the team, I could see this one being a bit of a struggle for them coming off of that midweek game. So I would go with possibly a draw in this one.
So speaking of Aston Villa, they are big underdogs against Crystal Palace, +355. This is Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern time. You said Aston Villa played well. Do you like them going forward, or was that kind of a really good game that they had?
I think Manchester United is still struggling to get a guys accustomed to the team. I think Aston Villa right now, they had quite a few signings, and a lot of their guys that were really their main contributors last year have left the team. So they're trying to get guys acclimated as well. Crystal Palace has started off well this season, so I could see this one being possibly a draw for Aston Villa because the first two games were decided by a goal for them. So I could see this one being their breakout. I don't feel comfortable putting the money on them to win it, but I could see this one being a draw as well, being the third week of the season.
We've also got Norwich versus Stoke City. Norwich is a slight favorite, but a plus money favorite at that. You've got a feeling on this game one way or the other?
Not really. That's one of the games that I haven't done too much research in. Stoke was kind of mid-table last year. Norwich City, kind of the same. So this one is kind of really a toss-up, and I think that's why you're seeing, even being the favorite, they're a plus money play because it's not really – either way that that one, the tables aren't tipped in either team's favor.
One matchup that I kind of like here, and I'm a little surprised that the line is where it is, but West Brom plus 488 against Chelsea. Chelsea's at minus 158. Is that decent money to be getting on Chelsea in this match, or should we be considering West Brom as a pretty serviceable team this season?
That's definitely good money to put on Chelsea, especially because of the fact that they struggled their first two games to start the season. So that's why you're seeing, you know, the tables kind of tipped in West Ham's favor, I guess you could say, with them not being, I mean, they're an underdog, obviously, but not a huge underdog. I mean, Chelsea, obviously, people were expecting them to kind of run away, having won the league last year and bringing back pretty much the same team. But as we did in the English Premier League preview, talking about how it's possible that Jose Mourinho could be losing the team this year because of the type of the coach he is, it's definitely something to think about, where they drew against Swansea City in that first game 2-2 and were absolutely slaughtered last week, losing 3-0. So I could see this definitely being the week that they break out of that. But we really don't know where their minds are at coming off of those games. But West Brom is definitely not a very strong side, but they do have the same amount of points that Chelsea does. So I could see this being the game that Chelsea wins. So I would definitely put my money on them.
Yeah, I like Chelsea. You know, we talked about them a little bit before the season, kind of like where they're at, because it makes it a little more favorable if you're going to play them now as opposed to playing them the last two games when you would not have been cashing in. We've got two more games I wanted to talk about. Everton, Man City. Man City is at minus 150. We can get over 2.5 at minus 156. Do you have a is there something about this game that's sticking out to you?
You know, Everton has started off pretty well to start the season as well. You know, getting 4 points. Manchester City is really, really at the top there with their 6 points after beating a really strong Chelsea team. As we stated, you know, bringing the same guys in as last year. And they really beat West Brom pretty bad as well, 3-0, which isn't too much to write home about. But I think they'll struggle a little bit with Everton. What are you seeing as the over-under right now for that game?
Right now, over 2.5 is paying minus 156. Under 2.5 is paying plus 131.
Yeah, I think this game is definitely going to be won. Everton won 3-0 last week, drew the first week 2-2 against Watford. So we could definitely see, based on that, where people are thinking it's going to be over 2.5. Manchester City definitely has the talent to put goals in the back of the net. I don't think Everton, playing against a side as strong as Man City, will be scoring too many goals, but I could see this one definitely going over 2.5. But did you say it was 3.5?
No, it is 2.5.
Yeah, I could definitely see this one going over 2.5. Everybody knows that our man Tim Howard, the U.S. goalkeeper, is the goalkeeper for Everton. He hasn't been as strong lately, obviously, allowing those two goals in the first game. We can scratch that up to being, you know, the first game of the season. But he wasn't great in their last friendly prior to that either, losing 2-0 to Leeds United. So we could definitely see Man City putting some goals in there.
And he's the one that looks like Common, right?
That is correct.
All right, so over 2.5, minus 156. Do you like that number, or are you going to see if that moves up to 3 and maybe get a little better payout on it?
We'll see if that moves up to 3 as we get closer, especially because that's a Sunday game, I believe. So we'll be paying close attention to that and see what happens.
All right, I like it. So that's gonna take us through the weekend with soccer. We've also got, it looks like, some of the Italia series are starting up as well. So we've got a lot of soccer action going on to get us through the rest of the preseason for the NFL. I know we were talking about it last week. I'm not a fan of betting on the preseason. I know some people are. Some people are good at it. I just don't really have a whole lot of interest, and I don't really care to look a whole lot into research for it. So we're not going to talk about any kind of preseason stuff. I do have a couple of MLB plays I want to throw out there for everybody. We've got 3 of them tonight. First pitch is at 7:05 in the Mets-Baltimore game. We're going over 7.5 runs in this one. And when you look at the way that Yublando Jimenez has been pitching for the Orioles lately, he's giving up a lot of runs. The guy for the Mets, Syndergaard, he has been pitching well, but if you look at his home road splits, on the road he is not doing too well. So we're going over 7.5 in this one. That is a 3-unit play currently. I am checking real quick to see if that line has moved at all since. And it's actually all the way up to 8 right now. So it looks like there's been a little bit of movement from 7.5 up to 8. So a lot of people are taking the over right now. I still like it at 8. You're going to have the push if they hit right on the money. But you're going to get an even payout at minus 110. The second game that we are on this evening, 7:15, the Cardinals at home against the Giants. Jaime Garcia is pitching, and we are taking the Cardinals minus a half a run at minus 125. That is a 4-unit play for us. Again, first 5 innings, Cardinals minus a half. And in the finale, we are going, it's 8:05 first pitch, Tigers versus Cubs. We are going over 5 runs in the first 5 innings. That is going to be a 3-unit play for us. Liking what both teams are doing offensively. Not a fan of the pitchers in this matchup, at least the spot they've been in. The Cubs are playing really well at home, especially at night games. I'm thinking that this team offensively is waking up, and they are going to be ready to put some runs on the board. So, again, over 5. You can actually get it over 4.5 right now, and that looks like that may be moving back up to 5 after it got bumped down. So we will see what happens. We've got about an hour and 15 minutes until first pitch there. But again, Tigers, Cubs, over 4.5. So we had a little side conversation earlier today about how the most retweets we've gotten on Twitter have to do with a box of cigars, a picture of a box of cigars that I tweeted out. And I was in complete agreement that obviously nobody cares about what we have to say about betting and about what we have to say about sports, but everybody loves when we're talking cigars. So I wanted to spend a little bit of time. I've had a great summer because it's been a little cooler here in Florida this year. In the 5 years, or this is the 6th summer that I've been here now, this is the coolest summer that I've been through down here. So I've actually been able to smoke a lot of cigars. I've actually been able to smoke a lot of darker cigars because the Maduros in the summertime get to be a little strong and, you know, they can really kick your ass from time to time. So I've been able to get back into some darker cigars for the summer. What have you been smoking lately?
So this summer's been a little bit up and down in Chicago. We're finally starting to get a little bit more of the warmer weather. I know you Floridians prefer a little bit cooler so you can get outside. We prefer it a little bit warmer up here so we can get outside. So I haven't had too much time to really get out and enjoy anything. But when I have been, I've been going a little bit cheaper this year and stick into a store that we have up here. I'm not sure how many people are familiar with it, but it's called Binney's Beverage Depot. They have a nice walk-in humidor there, and they do have a great selection of their own brand of cigars. So they have tobaccos coming from Honduras, which is the one I prefer the most, being as that is my ancestry. But they do have some Dominican, and you do occasionally find some Cubans in there. But besides smoking those Binnies, I've had a few others, Cuban Delights I've had, and a few others from a store in Chicago as well. But they are mostly specific to those stores and not big brands.
You know, I'm really excited about the U.S.-Cuba relations because obviously as a cigar smoker, you know, that's a big thing. You know, but a lot of it, too, I'm not just excited about being able to get Cubans at some point in the hopefully not too distant future. I'm also excited about being able to travel there. You know, I really want to go there and smoke some fresh-made cigars. Here in Florida, especially in the Tampa Bay area, and, you know, Miami as well. We have a lot of small little cigar shops all over the place, and they usually have either a regular Cuban descent roller who comes in and makes cigars, you know, on a daily or weekly basis, or they have some sort of special where they have a, you know, Cuban cigar roller in from time to time. So, you know, we get a lot of good, like, hand-rolled cigars. And, you know, you can be smoking them the minute that he's done rolling them, which is pretty cool. The one thing I do like, and you'd mentioned, you know, the Binney's has a pretty good brand. Down here, just about every place has their own cigars that they roll. You know, smaller quantities. But the value I've found has been excellent because they're smaller samples that you're talking about. So it's like a small lot of cigars. They're hand-rolled on site. You can watch them. So you see the kind of the quality that's going into them. You know, as much as I do like the consistency that you get with some of the more automated, the machine-made cigars, you know, when you're able to buy that hand-rolled cigar seconds after he rolls it or you watch him roll it and then you buy it from him, nothing can really beat that. I mean, those cigars are premium. Lately, though, I have been getting back into CAO. I know they are a little bold for you, but I did tweet out a picture of the Presidente, which comes in the America sampler pack, which is a pretty good cigar. It's one of the best cigars that I think I have ever had. What name brands are you into? What's like the main brand that you like that you know is always going to be a constant smoke for you?
There's a couple. Definitely I like Cohibas. I mean, I know that's kind of a generic one that everybody really, like, tries to flock to, but I've never had one from them where it's just been something that I haven't liked to smoke whatsoever. So I definitely try to flock to them the most. There are a few that I am just not able to remember right now. I can picture the seal on the box. I can picture the ring on the cigar, but for some reason the names are slipping from me right now. But definitely Cohibas is one that, you know, I like to get, which a lot of people I'm sure are saying, well, that's kind of a cheap cigar. But if you've had the Cuban Cohiba, you know it's not really a cheap cigar.
Yeah, the Cuban, the high-end ones that you can get, they're always good. I always like Monte Cristo as well. Monte Cristo number 2 is one of my favorite cigars of all time. I had a bunch of those while we were overseas. And, you know, those Those did not get old, let me tell you that. And those things are smooth, and the Monte Cristo brand in general is just really good, too. So any last thoughts or words with the car discussion? Should this be a continuing segment going forward this year?
Definitely, I think it should be a continuing segment. Another thing that we should probably touch on, though, is what are you using to cut your cigars? Are you a push cutter? Do you have the old school one? What are you using, and what do you think is the best flavor out of your cigar when you're cutting it?
Well, I've got like a million different cutters sitting around here. My favorite one to use is the punch cigar, or the punch cutter. You know, it doesn't take away a whole lot from the cigar, and as long as you have a rounded cigar, it's going to, you know, from what I like is it gives you a real consistent draw, because you know you're not going to miscut it, you're not going to cut too much, too little. It's going to just be really good that way. One of the cigar places I go to down here, though, has one of the tabletop ones, which is really cool because it has like the old pulley from like a like an old slot machine, and it basically has like three or four different rings, and whatever kind of cut you want, you put it in that spot, you pull down the lever, and it cuts it for you. So I do like kind of cool things like that. You know, they look a little novelty, and you can have all four cuts or all however many cuts in one machine. But right now, for what I use at home, I'm pretty much punch only.
I agree. You know, once you introduced me to that punch cutter, it was definitely something that once I got back home here, I definitely went to Benny's and picked one up as well, because it's just something that, like you said, you know, you're never taking too much off of the cigar, which a lot of times with the older ones you do. So besides that, definitely, what are you looking at to start your cigars with? Are you a match guy? Are you using the cedar sticks? Are you using a butane lighter, an old school lighter? What are you using to start up your cigars?
I'll have to tweet out a picture of it, but I have the all-in-one. It has a punch on the bottom, and it has the butane lighter on the top. You know, the tabletop ones that you can get, I think are neat, especially if you have a nice, like, little smoking room or smoking area. You know, the handheld lighters, they're convenient. They're easy to carry around. They're easy to refill. Whenever I can use matches, if I can find really good matches, you know, I'll give it a shot, but it's kind of hit or miss down here if it's going to be too windy or not. That's always been my problem with matches, is the wind factor, you know. So, but, you know, pretty much any way to light it, I don't have that big of a preference. You know, as long as you just don't overheat it and you don't make it burn too fast, I think you really can't go wrong.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I try to use matches as much as possible. I'm not a big fan of the butane lighters myself. A lot of times, being down in Vegas, when you go into a cigar shop at the casino, I like to let them start it up using the cedar sticks. I think you definitely get a good flavor with those. So that's something I always try to do whenever I get the chance to, but it's not something that I practice on my own when I'm just smoking at home or anywhere else.
Yeah, I'm always surprised down here, you know, in Florida, in such a big cigar area, that they don't have, that a lot more of the cigar shops don't do cedar matches. But, hey, it is what it is, you know, so take what you can get. And if everyone else is going to be using lighters, then I guess I am as well. All right, so this is going to be a regular segment. Before we go into archive time, just want to remind everybody, make sure you check out the Spread TV on our YouTube channel. You can also find it on the Cover That Spread website and the RedLightSportsNetwork.com website. There is pages on both of those. You can watch our NFL preview series as we count down to the number one team in the NFL. So let's move on to college football. We've touched on quite a bit of this. We've gone through the top 10, and we're looking at 11 through 25 right now. We're going to go back to the SI.com preseason rankings. Let's do a little rapid fire here. And we're going to start with 25 and count backwards to 11. Number 25 team is the Mississippi State Bulldogs, who was a pretty big surprise last year. I can't believe they are dropping all the way down to 25 right here. Where do you, Mississippi State, do you buy or sell them in the SEC, which I think we all agree got a lot better this year as opposed to last year?
Yeah, I'm kind of a seller on that. I don't believe that they're really one of the contenders in the SEC. So them being down at 25, obviously, like we've talked about, the SEC really is the strongest conference in college football. So definitely they're going to have some battles with bigger teams. But I do not think that they will be one of the top teams in college football this year.
All right. I think I'm going to agree with you on that one. 24, Wisconsin Badgers. This team has lost, as they always do, good running backs. They have continually turned in a solid offensive line. They are in a rather weak Big Ten, who is extremely top-heavy with the top two teams. Really, you can say they're top-heavy with the top one team. And then it's kind of them, Michigan State, Nebraska, as that second tier. Badgers, 24. Can they be a top 25 team this year, or are they going to be on the outside looking in?
Well, I think definitely we know in the Big Ten, you got Ohio State's going to be right up there. We'll be looking at Nebraska, who had a pretty strong season last year, to be near the top as well. Michigan State, Michigan were kind of down last year. Virginia Tech, Maryland, you know, these are all teams that you could see definitely challenging in the Big Ten. I don't think Wisconsin has what it takes to be right there with Ohio State. I think it's Ohio State's division to lose, just like we had, conference to lose, like we had spoken about before. So I can see them possibly being a top 25 team this year, but definitely not getting into that top 10.
All right. Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Badgers have an easy enough schedule that a top 25 team isn't out of the question. LSU Tigers, number 23. I will say that I thought the Tigers were on the verge of something last year. I thought them and Auburn were both kind of on the brink of having a breakout season. Neither of them really took advantage of it. I think they both went 8-5. This year, Auburn is a top five team in the preseason rankings. LSU is top 25. I think 23 is low for LSU. I think this team could be pushing a top 10 spot by the end of it. Obviously, they have some questions at quarterback. What are your feelings on the LSU Tigers?
I liked LSU quite a bit last year. It was a team that I had put money on. Definitely one of the teams that competes every game, and you're really getting their best out of their players. I think exactly like you said, those question marks are really where you're looking at to see, you know, how that team's going to perform this year. Definitely a top 25 team, but again, I do not see them jumping into the top 10.
All right. 22, let's keep it in the SEC, Arkansas Razorbacks. This team was up and down last year. They had some really great games where you thought that they were just going to explode. They had some terrible games where you thought, how does this team get by on a weekly basis? I wasn't a believer in Arkansas last year. I know a lot of people really did like them. Do you think that Arkansas has a chance in this conference, or are they going to be this kind of potential team that shows flashes of greatness, but then also has just flashes of bad football?
I think it's definitely that team that's going to have flashes of bad football, and that's really where you run into the issue of where do you think that team's going to be at the end of the season? Definitely, you know, a top 25 team in my opinion, but again, can they put it together and really, you know, get the most out of their potential and challenge to be one of the top-tier teams in college football?
It's amazing how you can have a team in the top 25 and it not be a big deal in their conference. I mean, they could easily be the seventh best team in their conference, yet they still make the top 25. I mean, that's just insane when you think about all of the football programs that are out there and how this one conference dominates the rest of them. But, you know, that's the reality of it. I agree. I don't see the consistency being there with Arkansas. They're going to have a solid running game. They're probably going to have a pretty good defense. But at the end of the day, I just don't think it's enough to get into a double-digit win season like they're going to need to be if they're going to want to have any chance at a, you know, at any kind of big postseason run. You know, if it is the SEC tournament or a championship game, or if it is even better than that. So, Oklahoma Sooners, number 21, epic collapse at the end of last season. I think they lost four of their last five games. You know, the Sooners, they had a lot of talent. They were in a Big 12 that ended up being better than people expected, but it was still not that great after you get through TCU and Baylor. Can Oklahoma make a comeback this year?
I think Oklahoma is one of those teams, again, that you can't always count out, but I don't see them being at the top tier there with Baylor or TCU. I think both of those teams were really great last year, exceeded some people's expectations, and really both kind of had an argument to be in the college football playoff. So I don't see Oklahoma, you know, being that team in that conference that's going to come out and really have an argument, again, to be in the Final Four at the end of the season.
Yeah, I don't, you know, my problem with the Big 12 right now is not having a championship game. I think it definitely hurts the conference, and, you know, the Sooners probably would be on the outside looking in, but it would definitely help them out if there was one, because you could see them, you know, possibly going on a late season run, sneaking into the game, possibly winning, and then that puts them in a lot better shape than being the third tier of what's considered a weak conference. So number 20, Missouri Tigers, keep it in the SEC. We've got a team here that got steamrolled in the SEC title game. You know, not a lot of people have faith in the SEC West where they are in. Everyone feels like the big headlines are all in the East. Are the Tigers real? Can they repeat 11 wins this season?
I don't think so. I don't think this is a year where they're going to be, again, at the upper echelon of the SEC. It's just a tough, very tough division, conference, I'm sorry, that, you know, is always going to have a lot of good teams in it because they have to recruit these type of players to always be at the top. But I do not think that they are going to be one of the top teams in that conference, nor will they be in the top 10 to really have an argument to get into that Final Four at the end of the season again.
Yep. Yeah, the Tigers, I just think the rest of the SEC got too good from last year to this year, especially the people in their division. So, yeah, I see the Tigers taking a step back. Number 19, Georgia Tech. We've got an 11-3 record last season. They beat Mississippi State in the Orange Bowl. They, you know, they're in a pretty easy ACC. Although I think there's a lot of teams in this kind of mid-range that have a shot at the title just because of Florida State taking a step back this year. Can Georgia Tech win the ACC? And if they do, would they have a shot being in the top four for the playoffs?
Yeah, I definitely think that they have a shot of winning the ACC. Like you said, with Florida State taking a step back, although, you know, with them having Everett Golson this year, we're not 100% sure what they're going to have really at that quarterback position, because that game that Winston was out last year, they definitely did not look strong there at all, and it was really the defense that won that game for them. So, you know, Florida State's going to have that good defense. What we don't know is Georgia Tech really for real. They came on strong at the end of last season. You know, they'll be looking again to build off of that. But really, are they going to be one of the top teams in the ACC? I still question that myself, but I think that if, you know, they play their cards right, they do have a chance to be right there at the top of the conference at the end of the season.
18, 17, and 16, I think we can group, and even 15, I think we can group these four together. Stanford Cardinal, Arizona State Sun Devil, Boise State Broncos, and the Arizona Wildcats. Let's even go down to 14, UCLA Bruins. So we've got UCLA, Arizona, Boise State, Arizona State, and Stanford all between 14 and 18. I feel like this is that you know, minus Boise State, who I think Boise State, again, they're going to cruise to 12 wins because of their schedule. They're going to be right around here. They're going to have one bad loss that kind of knocks them out, knocks the wind out of them. If they can stay healthy, I think they could, you know, maybe even stretch to a top 10 team. But when you look at this pack of Pac-12 teams, does anybody stand out, or is this just kind of like that typical not quite bums, but not quite good enough to make it into that top tier?
Yeah, I don't think that they're ready to make it into the top tier. I know Arizona last year had that game against Oregon where they won. UCLA had a couple good games as well against Oregon, which, you know, for me and a lot of other people, excuse me, was the team that everyone thought was going to win the college national championship heading into that final. But as we saw, Ohio State really was a surprise and had everything going for them in their favor. I don't think any of these teams in the Pac-12 are real contenders to win a national championship. I think Oregon themselves may be rated too high, skipping up a couple numbers at 10. But I could see one of these teams winning the Pac-12. I don't think the Pac-12 is going to be strong enough to have a national championship contender this year. But if they were to have one, if I were to make a pick, I could probably go with the Arizona Wildcats over UCLA, Stanford, or Arizona State.
Yeah, I don't have a big feeling about any of this group. But I do think Oregon will be a team to reckon with this year again. You know, they do a great job recruiting up there, and they get obviously some of the best players out there on the West Coast at this time. So I still like Oregon. I think they're going to be there. I don't really like any of this pack. I think this pack could be dangerous in a way that they can put up 50, and they could be dangerous because they could hit some really bad spots as well. So I'm not sure how I'm going to trust that group starting off the season. Number 13 was a team that I was big on last year, Ole Miss. I thought that was a great revival story. If Treadwell does not break his leg in that game against, I believe it was Alabama, they would have won, they would have covered, and I think they may have actually snuck into the they basically wouldn't have collapsed the way they did. That wasn't the case. The Rebels fell. Being at 13, I think, is a good spot for them. They need some guys to really step up this year, and it starts with the quarterback position. Number 12, Clemson Tigers, and number 11, Georgia Bulldogs, another SEC team. Bulldogs have lost a lot of people. The Tigers, you look at the wide receivers they put out into the NFL the last few years. Any of these three teams doing anything for you?
I like the Clemson Tigers. I think really that's going to be the team that's going to challenge Florida State in the ACC and could be the hindrance for Georgia Tech, depending on how Georgia Tech comes out. So I think that's going to be one of the teams that we have to look out for as the season goes on. The other ones, not really doing too much for me. I'm not big on the Georgia Bulldogs or the Rebels. I think Ole Miss definitely has a good team. Like you said, with Treadwell getting hurt, you know, that was something that really set the team back. But we'll be looking for them to rebound this year. But I think Clemson is the team in that pack of three that could really make some noise this year.
Yeah, I like Clemson as well. So we will take a look. All right, guys. Again, we are off next week. So be sure to check back with us on the 2nd of September as we will roll over week 1 of the college football So for the Red Light Sports Network and Cover That Spread, he is Catracho.